Take your Bibles, Matthew chapter number 5, if you would please, and we'll remain standing. We'll read the Word of God. Matthew chapter number 5. I appreciate, Pastor, the opportunity to preach in your pulpit to your people, and this is a wonderful place to be, the house of God on a Wednesday night. I know I need church as much as I can get it. You can ask my wife. If there was every day, I'd be here. I need it, and it's good to be here. I read a joke I just have to read to you. It made me laugh so hard, I figured I have to share it with you. I read it today. It talks about how many people in a certain religion it would take to change a light bulb. I don't know if you've heard this one. And they say Christian, but that's a broad term, you know. So how many does it take? So for the charismatics, it only takes one because their hands are already in the air. For Pentecostals, it takes 10, one to change the light bulb, and 9 to pray against the spirit of darkness. For Roman Catholics, none, they only use candles. For Jehovah Witnesses, none, they're too busy knocking on doors telling everyone they have the wrong light. For Mormons, it takes 5, one man to change the light bulb, and 4 of his wives to tell him how to do it. For the Calvinists, it takes none, because the lights will go on and off at their predestined times. And for the Baptist, it takes at least 11, one to change the light bulb, and 10 to make sure the Pollock is okay after the light bulb is changed. And I'm glad to be a Christian, and I'm glad to be a Baptist. I certainly am. That's not my message tonight, but I always enjoy talking about that. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. The Bible says this is Jesus speaking. Let's read responsively if we can. Let me read the odds out loud, and if you'd please read out loud with me the even verses. The Bible says this, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men." Altogether, verse 14, ready to begin. "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." All together, ready to begin? "Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." In our scripture, we see Jesus in his famous Sermon on the Mount, as it's called, teaching his followers to be salty and shiny Christians. May I remind us this evening, we truly live in a dark day. As Pastor has been preaching through Sunday nights on faith in uncertain times, he's talked about how dark our day is, and I echo that. It certainly is. It reminds me of what the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 5:20. He said, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." This world today has it backwards, upside down, and inside out, and it's only getting worse. Years ago, things that would appall the average citizen now are heralded as bravery, and they're admired. Actions and lifestyles that used to be considered wrong are now put on a pedestal, and they're applauded. The world is a dark place. And in the midst of this dark day, Jesus says, "Ye are the light of the world." In the middle of a confused, backward-thinking society, Jesus is calling us to be bright lights, shining for righteousness and truth in this day. This evening, I'd like us to consider quickly 3 attributes of light and make a practical application of those attributes to make sure we are shining bright for Christ in this dark world. With the Lord's help, I want to preach this message. It's your time to shine. It's your time to shine. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that every single time we open it, you want to do something in our hearts. And I pray tonight that's what would happen. Lord, I certainly personally have nothing to offer these, your dear people. But God, the Holy Spirit does through your word, and I pray as I preach and proclaim it, your message would come through. Help us, God, at the end of this sermon to decide we want to be bright, shining lights for you in this day. Thank you for those who are here. I pray for those who couldn't be here due to illness or otherwise, God. Bring them back to good health so they can be with us again. Bless this service, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. I do have a handout with some notes. If you did not receive it, but you'd like it, could you please slip your hand up? It was in the prayer bulletin. Gentlemen, we have a couple who didn't get this. If you please slip your hand up, make sure to get that to you. So number one, an attribute of light I want us to look at tonight is number one, light is different than darkness. This is going to be a deep message tonight. Just buckle up. Light is different than darkness. Light differs from darkness to the highest degree. They're polar opposites. Light is as different from darkness as black is from white, or as hot is from cold. There are opposite ends. By Jesus calling his disciples the light of the world, he's saying you are to be different than the darkness that's all around you. That's what he's telling his disciples. Would you turn to 1 Peter chapter 2? I love this scripture. I think it can help us here. 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll go back to Matthew, but turn to 1 Peter 2, 9 if you would. Jesus, by saying you are the light of the world, is saying I want you to be different than the dark world that is around you. 1 Peter 2, 9 tells us this. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I love this verse here. He's saying that God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. For those of us who have accepted Christ as Savior, that word peculiar, I looked that up. You know, it's amazing when you study the Bible, you learn stuff. And so I was studying this. And when we think of the word peculiar, obviously we think of weird or odd or strange. And that's not necessarily what's implied here. Although being a Christian is odd to the world, we understand that. But if you study that word, the word peculiar here means belonging to a person. You ever seen someone who has maybe a peculiar gait, the way they walk? And it's just peculiar to them. It just belongs to them. That's what the word here means. It comes from a Latin word meaning private property. What a thought. What God is saying here when he says that we're a peculiar people, what he's saying is, I have purchased you and you are my private property. And that's how I want you to live your life. You're peculiar. You're mine. It reminds me of another verse, 1 Corinthians 6, 19. What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. I don't own myself. Chris Asprowe does not own this body. God does. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are whose? God's. Someone said this, it's the honor of the servants of Christ that they are God's peculiar people. They are the people of his acquisition, choice, care, and delight. These four dignities of all genuine Christians are not natural to them, for their first state is a state of horrid darkness. But they are effectually called out of darkness into a state of marvelous view, that they should show forth by words and actions the virtues and praises of him who hath called them. What this verse is saying, God is saying, hey, I have purchased you, I've chosen you, I've bought you, you're mine to do whatever I want you to do. I'm not here on this earth to do whatever I please. That's not why God purchased me and bought me. I'm here to do what he wants me. I am his private property. How many remember growing up and maybe you asked your dad or your mother and you said, Mom, Dad, may I, and you fill in the blank. May I go here? May I do this? May I buy this? Or whatever the question is, may I, and you ask, and you fill in the blank there. And your dad or mom looks at you and says, no, you may not fill in the blank there. Okay, and then some of you, maybe you can hearken back, and maybe you thought, well, I really want to press this issue. And so maybe you said, well, Dad, you know, Jimmy's dad lets him fill in the blank. Maybe, I won't ask if you've ever said that, but maybe you have. And then maybe you remember the answer after you got whooped. You know, then your dad might say, now look, whatever Jimmy's dad lets Jimmy do is perfectly fine because he's Jimmy's dad, but I'm your dad. And whatever I say and whatever I want for you to do is what you're going to do. This verse is telling us that guess what? God is saying, don't worry about what the lost and unsaved are doing. They have a different daddy. They're not my children, but you belong to me. You are my, I've purchased you. You must do what I want you to do. You are mine. God doesn't want us walking through life living like we have a different daddy, living like we belong to the devil. He doesn't want that. He wants us to recognize every day as we wake up, as we go through our day, he wants us to recognize I belong to you and I must do what you want me to do. He wants us to be different. Light is different. It's visibly different. If I were to throw on the screen two pictures for you, one of a room full of light, one with a room that has no light, it wouldn't be hard to decipher what's going on there. It wouldn't take you a long time to say, I think there's light in that. It wouldn't be hard. It's visibly different. It's very apparent. It looks different, very different. Somewhere along the line, some have adopted the idea that living like the world and like those who don't know Christ is acceptable. But let me remind you tonight that light is visibly different from darkness. Christianity has always been different. It's always been different. Always. It's never been mainstream. It hasn't. It's always been labeled as weird. That's just the way it is because it's different than the world. Christ said, the world hates me, so guess what? They're going to hate you. That's what Christ said. And we are going to be different. God wants us to be visibly different from the world. We ought to dress differently. I'll say it again. We ought to dress differently. And I'm going to go into specifics, but there are some things that, guess what? I just shouldn't wear. There are some things that you just shouldn't wear. And it grieves me at times when I see Christians wearing things that advertise ungodly things, and I think, don't you realize you don't belong to yourself? You belong to Him. I know He wouldn't want you wearing that advertising this or that. Oh, we must be so careful. We're not our own. I wake up in the morning, what I put on to show to the world ought not be what I want. I'd be, Lord, are you pleased with this? Jesus Christ, if you were here to do a check before I walked out of the house, are you okay with what I'm wearing? Are you okay with my hair? Are you okay with... That's the way it ought to be. Because we don't belong to ourselves. We belong to Him. We ought to dress differently. We ought to talk differently. We ought to talk differently. And not just here at church. I mean at home too. The vocabulary of the world is out of control. It's unbelievable. We have to be so careful we don't get sucked into that. We ought to be entertained differently. The things that entertain this world ought not to entertain us. Now, I know some things are funny across the board and they're clean and pure. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, slapstick. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when there are things that are immoral, things that mock morals and mock the way God wants us to live, and the world laughs. We ought not be laughing at those things. That's not funny. Oh, we must make sure we're different, be entertained differently. We must have different outlooks on life. What's important or what is acceptable to the lost world ought not be acceptable to us. We live different lives. It doesn't mean we're trying to be isolationist. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I am saying is we belong to someone much greater than us, and we have to live that way. Light is different. 1 Thessalonians 5:5 says this, "You are all children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." Ephesians 5:8, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." You see, Paul puts a very plain difference. You used to be over here, but you got saved. You're not there anymore. So walk as a child of light. That's how we must live our lives. God doesn't want us walking as children of darkness, which we were before salvation, but as children of light. He wants us to be different. Number one, light's different. Number two, may I say this, light dispels darkness. Light dispels darkness. Light and dark cannot occupy the same space. Where one is, the other is not. Because light affects a change. Light has an effect on the environment and on those in that environment. How many have woken up early in the morning, maybe before the sun's up, and you stagger into the bathroom, hopefully you don't stub your toe, and you stagger into the bathroom there, and you flip on the lights, and your eyes start to sting, like you've been, no, and your eyes start to hurt. And why? Because that light is having an effect on you. It's doing something. Or maybe this summer you bought blackout curtains. Anybody have blackout curtains you used over the summer? People kept telling me I should buy them. I didn't, but I should next year. And what's the purpose of those? You put those blackout curtains. That way, that sunlight that's warm doesn't affect your home as it otherwise could if that blackout curtain was not there. You see, the light that enters, it has an effect. Not only is light different, but light dispels darkness, it affects a change. Think about those who were drastically altered by the light of Christ. Think about Saul at your first blank. Think about Saul, the persecutor, the one who would go into your home, drag your family out, and take them to be killed just because you believed in Christ. Think about how the light of Christ changed that man's life. He became Saul the persecutor to Paul the mighty preacher missionary who wrote most of the New Testament. Why? Because the light of Christ dispels the darkness. Think about Mary Magdalene, possessed of 7 demons. But the light of Christ came into her life. She turned into the devoted disciple. Think about Zacchaeus, the publican turned patron as he gave back 4-fold to whomever he stole from. It's incredible. What was the difference? The light of Christ dispelled the darkness in their lives. When Jesus enters a life, that darkness is dispelled. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Would you turn back there? I want us to notice a couple things in verse 13 and verse 14. It might be in your notes. The Bible says this, you are the salt of the earth in verse 13. In verse 14, you are the light of the world. In our text, Jesus tells us we are to be salt and light. You know, something about salt and light, they both affect a change in whatever environment they're placed into. How many like potatoes? You like potatoes? I enjoy potatoes. I do. And almost any way you make it. I like French fries. I just do. I like French fries. I like tater tots. I mean, maybe that's juvenile. I don't know. But you just a crunchy tater tot, man, that's good. I like taters. Someone's shaking their head. No, I'm sorry. We'll pray for you. But we like tater tot. I like that. I like mashed potatoes. Nothing wrong with some mashed potatoes. I have a couple kids who don't like mashed, but you pray for them. They don't like mashed. I don't know what's wrong. I don't know. I got to pray. I got to pray harder. They don't like mashed potatoes. And so they'll ask me, Daddy, do I have to eat that? Yes, it's good. Come on. Anyway, they'll get there. They'll get there. But if my wife were to make some mashed potatoes or a baked potato or whatever and were to put it on my plate, no salt, not even butter, just a straight starchy potato, that would be a struggle for me. I would do it. I'd be a good husband. This is incredible. This is the best potato I've ever had. I would do that. But it would be a struggle. You know why? It needs some salt. It needs something to affect a positive change for that potato. That's a silly illustration, but that's what Christ wants us to be for this world, to affect a positive change. I think about those in the scripture, Joseph. In Genesis 39, the Bible says, it came to pass from the time he had made him overseer of his house, this is speaking of Potiphar's house, and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian Potiphar, his house, for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. He knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. God blessed Potiphar's house because of Joseph. Joseph was salt and light. He was affecting a positive change in the environment. And the disciples, in Acts 17:6, the Bible says, talks about them saying that these that have turned the world upside down. Talk about a positive change they affected their environment with. And that is what Christ wants us to do. A young lady once told her pastor, I can't do it anymore. I'm the only Christian in the factory where I work. I get nothing but taunts and sneers. It's more than I can stand. I'm going to resign. Will you tell me, asked the preacher, where lights are placed? What has that to do with it? The young Christian asked him rather bluntly. Never mind, the minister replied. Answer my question. Where are lights placed? I suppose in dark places, she replied. Yes. And that is why you have been put in that factory, where there is such spiritual darkness, where there was no other Christian to shine for the Lord. The young Christian realized for the first time the opportunity that she had. She felt she could not fail God by allowing her light to go out. She went back to the factory with renewed determination to let her light shine in that dark corner. Before long, she was the means of leading 9 other girls to the light of Jesus Christ. Your workplace ought to be a better place because you're there. Your neighborhood ought to be a better place because you live in it. Right. We're called to be salt and light, to affect a good change, a positive change in the environment God puts us in. Number one, light's different. Number two, light dispels darkness. Number three, I'm almost done. May I say, light directs away from darkness. Light directs away from darkness. Light reveals a location. It denotes that something or someone is there. We're in Matthew chapter 5. Look at verse 16. Here's what the Bible says. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. The whole point of us being light is to point people to God. That's what the scripture says. The whole point is that they may see our good works. So first of all, for this to work at all, we have to be doing good works. This is what it says. Once we're doing those good works, they can look at us and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. When they see your good works, when they see you're always honest, and you're not trying to cheat the boss. When they overhear how you talk sweetly to your spouse. When they see your attitude is always positive and encouraging. When they see you're trying to help them be successful instead of just for yourself. And the list goes on. When they see your good works, that could make them think, I wonder what makes him that way. I wonder what makes her that way. If it was anybody else on our department, what makes us that way is that we have the light of the world, Jesus Christ, as our Savior. And when they see our good works, it gives us opportunity to direct others to God. You see, we are not the light of the world for the purpose of attracting people to us. It's not what it's about. We're not the light to attract to us. No, sir. We are the light of the world for the purpose of directing those in darkness to the light of the world himself, Jesus Christ. The whole purpose in being a light is so that others can see God. I'd like to illustrate this briefly if I can. And Brother Dave, would you stand by that wall, brother? I want you to face that way. I need three guys. Isaiah, could you help me, brother? Could you help me up here? And Brother Chris, could you help me? And Brother Alex, could you help me as well? Just stand right up here in front of this pulpit here, facing Brother Chris. I'm going to give you each something, okay? So, brother, you got this, and you have this, okay? So I want you to stand right here. I want you to face David, okay? So right here, you face David, okay? Okay, I want to illustrate this briefly here. The purpose of us being lights is so that others can see who? Christ. So others can see who? Christ. Not for us, not to attract to us, but so they can see Christ. The brighter our light is, the better others can see Christ. The clearer our light is, the clearer they can see Christ. The more we become like Christ, the more we are following his word, the more dedicated we are to living the life he wants us to live, the brighter our light will be. Okay? I want to illustrate this if I can. Brother, can you kill the lights here? He's going to shut them down. And we're going to start, once all the lights go off here, we're going to start here, okay? Shine the light, would you? Okay. So in our illustration here, David represents Jesus Christ, okay? Now, don't shine it in his eyes, okay? Don't do that, especially when you get to the bright one. Don't do that. Shine it on his legs or his feet. So here, he's shining his light. Now, we can all see David, can we not? Certainly we can. And that light is being beneficial. That light's helping. We can definitely see David, who's representing Jesus Christ. Now, maybe in your Christian life, maybe this is where you're at. You're shining the light, but you could be brighter. And maybe you're just a new Christian and you're just kind of learning how things are and you're shining your light, but you have a next step to take. Hey, guess what? Keep shining your light. This is better than nothing. Keep shining the light, but there's more to grow. Would you turn that off? Would you shine yours, please? All right. Now here, this light's brighter. Guess what? Is it easier to see David here? Absolutely. And maybe this is where you are in your Christianity. And maybe you're shining brighter and it's easier for people to see Christ. But guess what? A little bit lower. You're killing him. But guess what? There's still more that can be done. And this is a good spot to be. You can easily see Christ through your life, and that's great. Would you turn that off? Close your eyes. Would you turn this one on? There's a switch on the back. There you go. Now look at that. Now it's very, very, very easy to see, isn't it? Now maybe that's where you are with your Christian life. Man, you're on fire for God. And man, seeing Jesus Christ through you is very, very easy. It's very evident. Maybe that's where you're at. If it is, hey, may I say, keep going. Keep shining that light bright. Maybe you used to be here, but now you're here. You used to shine that light bright. Could you kill that for a second? You used to shine bright. You used to be out soul winning. You used to do your devotions. You used to serve the Lord. But now you're back to this. You don't have to stay here. You don't have to stay here. You can get brighter for God. And you can shine brighter for him. Why? Not so we can look at us and look what I'm doing. No. But when we shine brighter, it makes it so other people can see Jesus Christ better. And that's our goal. Now, how bright we shine. Thank you, gentlemen. I'll take this from you. Can we give these guys a hand? Good job, guys. Now, how bright we shine, that's up to us. God doesn't say, you know what, I'm going to have Alex shine very, very bright, but Chris, no, I don't think I want him to shine very bright. That's not the way God works. God allows us to shine as bright as we want for him. So let me ask you, how bright are you shining for him tonight? Hey, if you got that little light, that's okay, but grow from there. Maybe you got that big light, you are on fire, man, you're doing everything you know how to do for God, stay there. Maybe you used to be there, but you've gone to a lesser light. Some things that have dimmed that light, have gotten in front of that light and made it hard for people to see Christ. Get those things out of the way so you can shine bright for the Lord. Proverbs 4:19 says this, "The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." For those who are lost, they don't even know where left is and where right. They're stumbling and they don't even know what they're stumbling at. They can't see. If we were to do that again and I were to have David stay there and we were to turn off every light, even these, so you couldn't see your hand in front of your face in this building. And he was there. And I had someone come in the back door, and I said, okay, there's someone in here. I want you to find him. Go ahead. They couldn't see the chairs, the tripwire. They couldn't see anything. Could they find him? I mean, maybe eventually they would. It'd be mighty hard. But if someone would shine a light on the way, if someone would shine the light on Jesus, they could find him. May I say, all around us every day are people wandering in darkness, not knowing where they should go in life, not knowing what the answer is. Christ has left us here to point them to Him. Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. All we need to do is live for Christ, shine His light, and point others to Him. John 12:32 says this, and I, Christ said, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. All we have to do is shine the light so they can see Christ clearly. And Christ said, you lift me up that way, I'll draw them. I'll draw them. He'll do it if we just shine the light. Would you turn one more scripture? We'll be done. Daniel chapter 12 and verse number 3. Daniel chapter number 12. I think it's in your notes. Verse number 3 says this. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And here's where I want to focus. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. The verse says that those that are wise will shine like the brightness of the firmament, but those that turn many to righteousness will shine as the stars forever and ever. I want to shine down here, but it'd be great if I could shine up there too one day. And that's what this light is different. May I say, are we being different as God wants us to be? Light dispels darkness. It has an effect. Are we having the effect God wants us to have? Light directs. Are we directing others to Christ? Let me ask you this. If the unsaved people with whom God has placed you in contact had no other way to see the light of Christ but from you, would they ever see Him? Would they ever be directed toward Him if you were their only shot? A Hindu trader in India once asked a missionary, what do you put on your face to make it shine? With surprise, the man of God answered, I don't put anything on it. His questioner began to lose patience and said emphatically, yes, you do. All of you who believe in that Jesus seem to have it. I've seen it in the towns of Agra and Surat and even in Bombay. Suddenly, the Christian understood, and his face glowed more as he said, now I know what you mean, and I will tell you the secret. It's not something we put on from the outside, but something that comes from within. It's the reflection of the light of Christ in our hearts. Church, Jesus calls us to be the light of the world. Let's shine bright for Him and lead others to the light of Jesus Christ. Let's all stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.